The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans.
Of all the things I've done in my life, what I did yesterday is the thing I'm most ashamed of. Embarrassed, disappointed, frustrated.
You pooped on one of your neighbor's lawns this time instead of your parents' neighbors?
Would you believe that I feel worse about this than I did about that?
Well,
that was nature called.
Yeah, that's
that,
embarrassing.
No,
that's
control over that. Yeah. Like, if it happens, it happens. You know, you just kind of got to let go and let God.
Well, and at the end, there's a little relief.
A lot of relief. No, what I did yesterday is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And I just hope that when I reveal it to you guys, you can find it in your hearts to forgive me. You still want to be associated with me.
Okay.
Does it involve us?
No.
Oh.
It would only be embarrassment by association. It would be you guys being like, oh, do not feel comfortable sharing a name of a show with her. So I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to fess up and tell you guys what I did yesterday that was so embarrassing. So shameful. I hit, not a person, reply all back on an email.
Yeah, get out. Get out.
There's what happened? But I don't get it.
What, reply all? Well, I mean, first of all, you would have to understand how email works.
Well, I get that.
So, you know when you're on a big group email?
Yes.
Instead of replying specifically to the one person you're trying to reply to, the sender.
Yes.
You hit reply all. And now everybody is going to be getting your reply. That's the worst type of person in an office.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you talking about naughty stuff?
No.
What the hell does that matter? That bothers people? Shouldn't have told me that.
I'm not worried about
you. Really, you really shouldn't have told me that.
I'm not worried about you figuring out how to send reply right. all
you'd
emails.
Have to, you'd have to open emails first in order you to automatically, reply to emails.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So we got an email, I don't know, 2 days ago that said change the password.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
I did.
I don't know.
How about you tell me how to do it? To change a password instead of saying change your password.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. I mean, most people know how to change passwords at this point, but I hear what
I do
you
not.
Say.
I did not know that reply at all. Everybody bothers me.
So let me just give you the backstory, right? So, you know, I've been doing Around the Horn for the last month or so, right?
Yes.
And so every week, the executive producer of the show sends out a big email. It's like 30 people.
Yeah.
Asking for their availability for the following week. So you reply to that email with your availability. Hey, I can do Monday. I can't mm-hmm. do Tuesday. I got this going on. Da, 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 da. You know, here are the days that I can do the show. And I reply all to the 30 people as opposed to the one executive producer. And I didn't know that I reply all until I started getting responses back from people who were also in
really?
The email.
I had no
oh, you
idea.
Start chirping, yeah. The appropriate response, which seems like it happened to Jen, is you start shaming that person immediately.
Immediately.
Really?
Yeah, you start shaming that person.
Immediately.
Because see, everybody gets enough emails throughout the course of the day. I don't need to know, like, if I'm David Dennis Jr., I don't need to know what Jen's
so
availability
just,
for next week is.
So you correct. Delete it. It's much worse to say something disparaging about a person and send them that text.
100% agree. In fact, I get to stick around with you because you're making me feel better about yes. my reply all.
When did you do that?
Oh, I've done it both times. You know.
Or talking disparagingly about somebody on the radio, and then they find out, and then you get in trouble with your
wife. Unless you did that strategically, which we know the big guy has done.
You know what? The older you get,
strategy.
And I think I'm in that getting into that territory. I don't get embarrassed anymore because I don't care. Like, I pizzled the other day, and not all of it came out. Had a big stain, wet stain in the pant. Had to go into a... I don't care. I really don't care. Like, I'm the only one that happens to?
No, of course not.
No, but, like, also, just change your pants, man.
Okay, for what?
You got pee on
It'll
your pants.
Dry.
I thought urine was sterile or something like that. Some other line that we were fed years and years ago so that we wouldn't feel shame when it comes to that type of stuff. I love this. So sending a text message to somebody that is disparaging or that is criticizing them or that is gossiping about them is way worse than reply all. That makes me feel a whole hell of a lot better today. Let me just read you some of the responses I got. So my email was, just scrolling.
Hold on, question. Yeah. Is this big ESPN or is this small ESPN?
Big ESPN.
Oh, okay. How many people are on the reply all?
23. Could have been way worse.
It could have been way worse.
Small, intimate group of people who now are doing Around the Horn. So I said, I have a college game day feature shoot next week, Monday through Wednesday, in Florida. But I could do Friday. Oh, I probably should have let you guys know that as well. But
yeah, I guess we're all finding out together.
I was going to get to that. Anyway, I could do Friday of next week for Around the Horn if you need me. Okay, Kevin Clark. You saw him yesterday on Get Up, making his debut. He says, we will excuse the reply all if it's a feature on Miami. It isn't.
Is he a Miami guy?
He is.
Okay.
J.A. Adonde. Thanks for sharing, Jen. We're all much better off having this information. And then it says, razzing for reply alls is an around the horn rite of passage, which makes me think I might not be the only person who has ever done this. Makes me think there are many people. Clinton Yates, I still vote for all reply alls to be shared anonymously on the main account. Ramona Shelburne, you're familiar with her work, I'm sure. Jen, you are truly one of us now. The only problem is I'm trying to think of a good way to make fun of your reply all, but nothing is coming to mind because you're so nice. Well, she was clearly drunk.
So these people haven't really gotten to know you yet. That's what we're starting to learn.
How about this company?
What?
Jack and the Beanstalk will be out tomorrow. Who cares? Who cares? It's like I don't even have the strength to delete that. Who cares? I don't care.
You got any other children's characters you want to call our colleagues?
How many his giant peach.
How many
going to be out
weather
of the
updates
office?
Can a person get in one day?
Typically two.
Oh, I'm saying
one in the morning,
like seven.
It's one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
I also got Woody Page here who said, Aaron, can I please do the show on Friday with Jen? I haven't beaten her in a showdown yet, but please don't tell her that I said that.
See, that's clever.
So I think that's people are having clever. A lot of fun with my egregious mistake yesterday. Have you ever reply alled 800-990-3776? When did this happen? Not the reply all option, because I don't really care about that. But when did it happen that the reply all became this like scarlet letter of email communication, Gabe?
I would say probably within the last 5 years. You know, like you should be able to operate your own technology and figure out how to hit me. We've all sent enough email. Oh, most of us have sent enough emails to understand the difference between the one reply arrow and the double reply arrow, which is the reply.
But this is kind of tracking in what I brought up in the production meeting about sports.
Okay.
And it's the same with email. Email was much better 30 years ago than it was today.
Did you have?
You weren't annoyed like you are today, right?
I think emails jumped the shark. Gotta be honest. Email has jumped the shark. It is so, you're right. It is more of a nuisance at this point in my life than it is a assistant or a help. Is it how we exchange information? Obviously. But like the fact that I'm sifting through my email between the stores who are sending me their 4th of July sales and the political stuff. Holy moly, the political stuff. If I get one more person asking me for a campaign donation.
I got bad news, Jen.
Yeah,
it's just started.
Yeah, it's only July.
I'm just saying, this is what my inbox is now. And then it is the occasional work email that I actually need for an assignment or for something coming up down the road. Like, it's insane at this point. I'm just scrolling through to see a lot of the ridiculousness I have in here. Do I really need Homestead Boys basketball performance training? Do not delete.
Yeah.
Now, that's not even for me.
I was about to say, I don't know if you should be deleting Chase emails.
Chase doesn't even play basketball anymore.
Oh, okay.
Feels like we could get off of that chain. 800-990-3776. Just so you know, Chew, my reply all is not getting as much traction on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line as you peeing your pants. Jared weighing in saying, Chewy peed his pants? Consider him Miles Davis.
It was a pizzle. It wasn't a full let go.
Well, but based on the way you decided to handle it, if it was a full let go, you wouldn't care either. You'd just be walking around with pants.
I've done the full let go. You have to go and change after that. Not the full, but probably 10th of the tank.
What contributes to that, by the way?
Lazy.
Alcohol.
Forget the shake.
Because for me, you know, I've had several children. I can't keep track of how many exactly, but I've had several. I'm familiar with that. And for me, that's what contributes to it. If I go to like a trampoline park and I think I can go and do the flips on the trampoline like I used to do as a child, I get reminded really quickly that, well, that's not the case anymore. I need to make sure I've emptied the bladder before I attempt any sort of
activity. Is the male version of the Kegel the stop and start to strengthen the prostate?
Yeah, I'm going to
It is.
We're just going to let that sentence sit out there for a
Chris,
minute, aren't we, Gabe?
Is that pullable? I think it
no.
is. Yes, it is.
I don't think we're putting
because they tell females to do Kegels after pregnancy. Am I right?
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
Am I right, Jen?
Yes, they do tell women that. Yes.
Yeah, the stop and start is the equivalent. Gabe, you will get there. Trust me. 37?
38.
Talk to Keith. Keith will be in my camp. Keith, Gabe's dad, who actually goes by Mark.
Whose real name is actually Mark, but it's now Keith on this program.
Did you and your dad have the birds and the bees talk?
I mean, probably. Have I completely blanked that out? Could I tell you what happened? No.
Well, Chewy thinks you guys are going to have the whiz and the wheeze.
But it seems like I got to get a little bit older before I can have that talk.
I think you ought to have it before it's too late. I think you ought to be out in front of that conversation, actually.
Well, at what point does this start happening?
50.
I got a little bit of time then.
Yeah, you got time.
I got a little bit of time. Wait, so you were just walking around a store with pee pants?
It was the size of a...
quarter?
Half dollar. What's bigger than a half dollar?
A cookie?
Was it like Oreo? Yeah.
It's more like chocolate chip.
Chips Ahoy?
Okay, like a Chips Ahoy?
You start getting in the Milano range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we're
you
in trouble.
You gotta change your pants. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, hold on. Let's see. Lots of folks weighing in. Justin saying, I hate group emails in general. I blame the ESPN producer who sent the email. Jen, don't sweat it. Jay weighing in saying the response
Wait. So that producer is just supposed to send 23 separate emails?
Can you BCC people instead? I mean, you don't have to. Again,
But if you BCC and reply all, I'm pretty sure they're still getting it.
The hell is BCC?
So,
I didn't realize we had to do email 001 here.
Okay, so when you send an email,
yes,
there are typically, you know, there's the two line, and then after that is CC, which is also their game.
Yeah.
It's like a carbon copy.
Yeah.
You know, so for 90s boy over here, you know when you used to have those triplicates? You had the white sheet, the yellow sheet, red sheet underneath.
Yeah.
Those are called carbon copies.
Yeah.
So that's basically what this is. You're just sending it along to somebody. But if you want to send the email and do it kind of secretly where this person is tagged in it, that's a BCC, which is a blind carbon copy.
I have no use for that. I just flushed it. I have no use for it. I'm just telling you.
At what point during his description did you stop listening?
When he started talking about lines.
I don't even know that you mentioned lying.
Well, I did. Oh, okay. The lines in the email. Oh, okay. It was the very first thing I said.
Exactly. So
see, I
less
have
than 10
the
seconds
perfect in. Built-in excuse. Thank you, ESPN Milwaukee. Because of we just got the no before that we have to take our little monthly thing.
So that is cybersecurity training.
Cybersecurity training. I am allowed to delete everything and say, I thought it was phishing.
Because Chewy
I thought it was spam. I don't even know what spam is, and I love spam.
Our company will send out fake phishing emails to try to entrap you, and then you end up having to take more training. Chewy has had to take more training because he has been trapped by those emails.
Correct. Now I just delete everything. So it's actually you're the one that's going to get in trouble, not me.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. You've got a hell of an arrangement worked out here. It's fascinating. 800-990-3776. I reply all'd to an around the horn email and got, necessarily and justifiably razzed for it all day long. Yesterday, I'm sure whenever they assign me the show next week, it will come up.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure either I will work it into an answer or somebody will work it into a question on the show.
I just assume that it would get worked into your intro by reality.
Yes, probably. and the reply all Jen Latta is on the show. We are going to triple crown today, guys. I know you can't believe it out there. You're thinking this show talks about Packers and nonsense most of the time. But we actually are going to talk Packers and Bucks and Brewers all this morning. Sophia Minert is going to join the show. Adam Schefter is going to join the show. And after this, Gabe, what are we doing right after this?
Right after this, we have Chewy. Kind of bringing up his everything was better 30 years ago.
Except one thing. And we'll get to that.
What a tease. Jen Gabe and Chewy rolls on right after this. Back here on Back here on Jen Gabe and Chewy. I have to clear my throat before every segment. Do you remember that song?
Let me clear my throat.
Thank you very much. Chewie's like, what are we talking about? When was that song?
The 90s!
That's what I thought. Thank you very much. That was a song from the 90s, Chew. I'm surprised you didn't know it since you're such a huge fan of that era. Chewie telling us this morning in our production meeting that everything was better. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything was better then, except for football.
Yeah.
Football's better. Better now. But everything else was better then.
Baseball was better back then. Basketball was better back then. Golf was certainly better back then. Tennis was certainly better back then. You got more?
How much tennis are you consuming right now?
I used to love tennis. I used to love Wimbledon. Now it's, I don't even watch it. It's horrible.
It's because there's no American, but.
I mean, my favorite.
It's 100% it.
Americans.
I love Bjorn Borg.
Which we can talk about. It's 4th of July week and all that patriotism and whatnot.
Do you agree? Hold on. Do you agree with me when it comes to golf?
Not necessarily. No, like the U.S. Open was just really good. Like, so we're just talking about there's no Tiger Woods. Is that what we're talking about?
No, there's no names. You watch the PGA and I'm like, who the hell is that? And there's no characters. I mean, we're talking Ernie Els, Davis Love.
Those are two of the most boring names.
The Big Easy.
It was boring as
Tiger,
bleep.
Unbelievable.
Tiger was really good. He was a personality.
I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
All right. So you're
telling me.
Hold on.
You're telling me Bryson isn't the personality?
He's fake. It's fake personality. It's not real. Will you agree with me? Tennis was better.
Well, again, I think his point is well made, which is you probably love the Pete Sampras's of the world and the Andre Agassi's of the world and the Chrissy Everett's of the world. Like, that's probably where your brain is going. And now you're just not as plugged into the sport, so you don't know any of the people playing.
NBA basketball. I am so sick of it. Everyone take a three. Just kick it back and take a three. Where is a good Chris pass? Where is a nice bounce pass?
Can I introduce you to the WNBA where Caitlin Clark is one of the crispest passers I've ever seen?
So her teammates might not always catch the passes.
That's right.
Baseball.
Okay.
Better in the 90s.
Is that because baseball was juicing?
Yes,
they were juicing the balls and home run derby and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa?
30 years ago, baseball almost killed itself by going on strike.
Yeah, but then it pulled out of it, and it was absolutely great.
Yeah, you know those flights where you just almost crash?
Yeah.
But you don't.
Like Indiana Jones, like you get that close, and then you go right back up, just avoid the mountain.
So I'm 4-for-4. And I'm saying the only sport that is better today, I think, is football.
Why is football better today than it was 30 years ago?
PEDs. Let me tell you what. Me and Gabe are kind of on PEDs right now. If I could have took this crap when I played, holy smoking Christmas.
Do you think that the folks over at Mentality want their products to be called PEDs? If you think they do, it's fine. I just want to make sure that we're
sure.
It's testosterone.
Sure.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's great.
I mean, I can tell you, I go into a gym and I do a certain weight. Typically before, I took PEDs, what I'm on now. I do it for 8. Now I do it for 12. 12. And I'm like, holy smokes. Now I know why these players are so much better. You know? But I do think the game is better.
I feel
it used to be funny when a guy got laid out in a game where we'd all laugh and we thought it was funny. We realized that it's not funny. Took that out of the game, which is smart. And now there are some things that are kind of weak. But I think the product is much better.
You like all the rule changes that favor the offense, that favor the quarterback?
Jen, my perfect game is probably 31-28.
So you like scoring?
I like scoring. I don't like 55-54, but 31-28 is a hell of a football game, I think.
I feel like it hasn't been that long since you sat on the show preaching about how football was better in the 90s when you played.
Because of the physicality, I think it's kind of purged itself. It's been out of the game long enough to where you say, okay, this
You've
is better.
You've gotten used to it.
Because, I mean, and I can speak from experience, I played a lot of years where I was only 85% because I was so beat to hell. And I wasn't, you know, as fresh as they were today. Because they don't practice as much and do all that, but they figure it out.
I can't help but wonder, though, if this theory that you are presenting to us, that everything was better in the 90s except for football, is just because you don't have the bandwidth anymore to pay attention to some of these other things. Like, baseball is better. The rule changes for baseball have made it better. The biggest gripe, the biggest complaint about baseball was that the games took too long and it was boring, and that the fan base was aging itself out, i.e. dying. They were dying. And so how do you attract the newer fan base?
It's still boring. Because, Chris, I think you said it in the production meeting. There were superstars in the 90s.
There are superstars.
They're very little.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Never heard of
people,
him.
People that Judge.
Yeah, but people recognize Judge. Names like Ken Griffey Jr. And they recognize names like Sammy
Barry
Sosa,
Bonds,
Mark McGuire.
Mark
Barry
McGuire, Sammy Sosa, the guys who played for the Astros. You
Jeff
know,
Bagwell.
BGO Bagwell.
He knows them so well. He can't think of them now, but he knows they were guys. But yes, the killer bees.
Even basketball to a standpoint, you know? Dominique Wilkins, Julius Erving.
80s. That's the 80s.
Isaiah Thomas. Deck, right? Okay. Isaiah Thomas.
We're talking about 40 years ago now, not 30 years ago in the NBA.
It's a soft 30.
30-ish.
30-adjacent. You know? Wait, you're telling me there's no star power in the NBA today?
There is, but I don't think there's as much.
No, there is.
Magic Johnson, Kareem,
80s,
Kemp.
Kemp. Okay, we got to the 90s.
Kemp.
Yeah?
You going to mention Michael Jordan or just pretend like he didn't exist?
He didn't exist.
I mean, that's easy.
LeBron, Steph, Giannis, KD, Embiid.
Old, on their way out.
Okay, I guess probably LeBron and Steph, but Luka.
To me, this is, again, he's just not paying attention.
Correct.
You're just not watching the league.
Like, there's probably more star power in the NBA today than there was
in the
90s. I just
don't like the threes, how everyone shoots a three, and there's no flow to the game. There's no good passes. It's just,
have you watched Luka pass the basketball?
I used to love basketball. I used to love it. I don't know. Baseball, okay, you could call it a push. I still think there's more superstars back in the 90s that are recognizable than there are today.
Because they did a better job of marketing themselves, right?
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think of the Chicks Dig the Long Ball commercial that Nike did with Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux. They're two pitchers. They want the attention that Mark McGuire's getting. And it was a great commercial. Like, I vividly remember that. Ken Griffey Jr. had great commercials back in the 90s. Like, they marketed these people. Like, is Aaron Judge on a single commercial that you can think of?
Why aren't any of those guys playing football? Where's Bo Jackson? Where's Deion Sanders? Those were exciting to watch. Deion getting on a helicopter after he plays a baseball game? And then he's got to go play
for
Atlanta?
That's an easy answer, Chew.
What?
Specialization.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you're looking for helicopter rides, can I introduce you to NASCAR and IndyCar or NASCAR and open wheel? Because sometimes a guy will do the double, right? He'll
do race. The Indy, and then they'll do
exactly,
the Coca-Cola.
And then they'll hop in a helicopter, to your point, and then you can watch that one. So that, again, Chewy thinks that everything was better in the 90s. We do have people saying that music was way better in the 90s. That is one area that Chewy disagrees on. He hates
I didn't like,
music.
I hated grunge.
90s music is awesome.
No, grunge is terrible.
You're terrible.
What about NASCAR? NASCAR was probably better in the 90s than it is today.
See, I don't watch NASCAR. I mean, I recognize names from that. I had an uncle who was huge into it. So, like, I was familiar with the Dale Jarretts, the Dale Earnhardt Juniors, Jeff Gordon, that sort of thing when I was growing up. But I don't pay attention anymore. There could be guys that are just as good now. I just have no idea.
We are going to workshop a poll here. I just got to figure out exactly how we're going to word it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll to figure out if people agree with Chewy's assessment that everything was better in the 90s except for football and music. Because those are the two things that Chewy does not think were better in the 90s. We have to take a break. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. Get your questions in for Adam Schefter. We've got him on the show right after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam,
some more
Adam, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're
going
to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter.
It'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. Don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that'll occur here.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. If you are looking for top-notch orthopedic care, OAW's team of doctors has just been nominated for Milwaukee Magazine's Top Doctors. From sports injuries to joint replacements, their doctors are dedicated to providing personalized, compassionate care. You can experience the OAW difference. Go to their website, orthowisconsin.com. I have missed Adam Schefter the last few weeks. Didn't have a voice one week. Last week was shooting a feature interview, so I am back. It is good to see you, Adam. It is good to hear you, Adam, and I want to begin with this. How much scorn and ridicule do I deserve for the reply all that I did yesterday, that I committed yesterday with the Around the Horn group? I reply all'd my schedule to all 30 people, and deservedly so, people came after me. They razzed me. But I'm just, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much scorn do I deserve?
Well, what's even worse is when they do it at our company, Jen, and they send out one of those memos and they reply to like thousands of people. So at least you only did it to 30 people. I can't stand the people that do that. And then the next person chimes in, please take us off this chain. Yes, we don't want to be on this chain. Yes, we don't want this email. And all of a sudden we've got an echo chamber of 86 more emails that nobody wanted, right? Like, so it, you started that for 30 people. I think people recognize and they probably got past it. So it's okay. It's a faux pas. We'll give you a hall pass here. Don't let it happen again. All good. Do not let it happen on one of those company-wide emails where you got some idiots who do some really dumb things with emails.
Well, have you, because you are just, you know, this source of information that you're exchanging all over the place, have you accidentally ever sent the wrong text to the wrong person, like replying to a source?
Yeah.
That's got to be horrifying.
Yeah. By the way, like, I make my living with texts, but I think that everybody does that. Everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is, it has happened to everybody. It's happened to me a couple of times. Like, right. I send a GM a text. Hey, this team's not. Did you mean this? I'm like, oh boy, I was just texting with this other guy. How did I text this to this guy? And you just hope it's never something that would be, I don't know, personal or worthy of ridicule. And that I don't think has happened to me, but not that I can recall, but I don't want to jinx it because everybody makes texting mistakes every now and then. Jen's came yesterday. Surely we will make some at some point in time.
Adam, since we talked last, I believe the NFL lost the lawsuit against Sunday Ticket, where And I know there'll be an appeal and all that stuff, but as of right now, each team has to pony up $450 million. How does a team like Green Bay, who Jason Wilde told us they have around $700 million in the kitty, how do they do that? How do they write a check for 400, if this is going to be the case, how do they write a check for $450 million?
Well, they're not writing the check right now. That's the whole thing. And I think this is going to go through a long appeal process. And who knows how much more television revenue is going to roll in by then, how many more streaming services are going to roll in by then. The number I had heard was $150 million per team, not 450. And I don't care whether it's 150 million, 450, it's still a ton of money. But when does that money due? How does it play out? I'm not smart enough legally to answer some of these questions. I'd have to really sit down and dig in. And I'm going to be honest with you, Chewy, I have not spent my July vacation digging into how the NFL is going to pay out millions of dollars in a lawsuit lost to DirecTV. I just honestly, like, I'm not, my mind's not there right now. So I just think that the one thing I do know is that there are going to be appeals. This is going to be a lengthy process. And I don't think any NFL team is going to be cutting a check anytime soon.
If the Packers do what we think they're going to do this year and kind of build off their year last year, Adam, San Francisco is going to be a team in the way. And they've had the Brandon Ayuk drama happening all throughout the course of the summer. He's just going to play for the Niners this year, right?
That's the expectation. They're not planning to trade him. They really have not entertained that. They've not intended to do that. And so he's there. And by the way, if you're the Niners, and let's just say a team out there offered you, I'm making this up, a first-round draft pick for Brandon Ayuk. Why would you, as the 49ers, a potential Super Bowl contender, trade him now for a pick in 2025 when that pick is going to do nothing to impact your 2025 season that you put an awful lot of attention and energy into, that you have Brock Purdy in the last year of his rookie contract, which helps you out elsewhere? They're not trading him for a future draft pick now. It's just not going to happen. Right? Like, it makes no sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be there. I expect he's going to be there this year. I don't know how happy he'll be. I don't know how much of an issue that'll be. That'll play itself out this year. It's not like the situation has been resolved or settled, but it's an ongoing situation right now. And they're still trying to get it worked out, and there's time to work it out still.
Adam, Chef Ed weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, asking if anybody is interested in signing David Bakhtiari. Are you hearing anything about David Bakhtiari having maybe another year or another run here in the NFL?
Well, Jen, I had him on my podcast 2 weeks ago, and I was surprised by the fact that he not only wants to play this season, but he's planning to play multiple seasons, and he feels like he's rebounded well with that knee. And the way he made it sound to me was he had multiple teams that were interested, and I think it's more a question of him waiting till he feels right, along with the right opportunity. But do I think David Bakhtiari is going to be playing this season? I do. Based on what he told me, absolutely. I think that he'll have a new home. If I had to guess here, he'll sign sometime right before camp, maybe the first week of camp. That would be my guess, but at some point, hopefully he'll give me a little heads up about the fact that he's going to be signing here. We'll see.
Adam, how good are the Jets going to be this year? And let me ask you why. Because
you sound like the Jet fans I was playing golf with yesterday.
Yeah, but I look at all these power rankings, and you take power rankings for whatever you will.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they are consistently anywhere from middle teens, 16, 17, to 24. And we've been around Aaron long enough in his years in Green Bay that we were conditioned, you don't bet against this guy because he's going to burn you.
Yeah.
Do these people believe that he's not good anymore? I mean, I think it's kind of disrespectful. And I kind of dismiss power rankings that have the Jets at 24 because I think they're much better than that.
Well, everybody's got the image in their minds of the Jets finishing last year in the position that they did. Here's the thing. They could be 24 in power rankings today. They could win their first two games of the season, and they'll be within inside the top 10, Chewy. So, again, power rankings mean absolutely zero to me, nothing to me, okay? So What I would say to you is what I'd say to the Jet fans, what I did say to the Jet fans yesterday when they asked me about the Jets. I said, do you think that Aaron Rodgers is going to play 17 games this year? Answer that question first. What's your answer to that?
I would say yes. We've learned not to bet against Aaron Rodgers here in Green Bay.
Well, if he's playing 17 games, they're going to be a top 10 team. Just telling you right now. They're going to be a top 10 team if he's playing 17 games. Mm-hmm. I said to them, how do you think the offensive line will hold up? That's the other question. They have put a ton of time and resources into that offensive line, basically redone the whole thing, revamped it. They signed Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. Now, Tyron Smith, when he's healthy, is tremendous. Now, the question is he going to be healthy? We'll see. They drafted Olu Fashanu from Penn State in the first round. So you put a first-round pick into offensive tackle. You put a big free agent investment into offensive tackle. You traded for Morgan Moses at offensive tackle. You signed John Simpson from the Baltimore Ravens. So John Simpson and Morgan Moses both come over from Baltimore. You get back Elijah Vera Tucker, who's really good. You get back Joe Tippmann, a former second-round draft pick at center. Like, they really, when you look at it on paper, have the parts and pieces to have a effective, strong offensive line. Now, I said this to Greeny yesterday. We were talking about the Jets. But you just always get the feeling with the Jets that something's going to go wrong. Like, the bottom, where's the bottom falling out? Because it has for 50 years, every year. Like, it's fallen out for 50 years. Now, there's going to be a year when it doesn't happen. And hopefully it's in our lifetimes, because I've got a lot of frustrated Jets fans that live around me. But if they're all healthy, they should be a top 10 team.
Adam, I think the only person outside of the Green Bay Packers that loves Jordan Love more than the Packers do is Mike Tannenbaum. He just continues to sing the praises of Jordan. And last week, he went on television and said if he were Jordan Love, he'd wait till Dak signs and then ask for 10 years, $600 million. And if he were the Packers, he would give it to him. If the Packers offered a 10-year, $600 million contract, who says no? Do the Packers say no to that? Does Jordan Love say no to that?
Well, I don't think the Packers are offering a 10-year, $60 million contract. And by the way, if they had offered that, then the deal would be done right now, right? They haven't offered that. So it's a moot point. Now, you know, I understand what Mike's point is. And I've had a lot of people over the years raise this question to me, and it's very true. You know, teams have been very aggressive about signing quarterbacks long-term deals, as they should be. Like, if you get a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, you're going to do everything you can to make sure those guys never leave. But if you were a quarterback and wanted to go through the protracted drama that comes along with it and try to force the issue to get to free agency, oh my God, would you be able to reset the market? Which is, by the way, exactly what Dak Prescott has done and exactly what Kirk Cousins. But the issue is, like, when you're a quarterback and you're really good and you're one of those guys that I mentioned, and the team comes to you and they say, okay, here's 5 years and $250 million, and it's still top of the market. Are you turning that? Why would you turn that down? You're not going to. You're going to take that because it's life-changing money. But if somebody wanted to bypass that life-changing money, they could propel themselves into the type of position that Dak Prescott is about to be in, where he really is going to get some life-changing money. Because if he comes out and plays the way he did last year, even if they flame out in the first round of the playoffs again, even if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to be a quarterback desperate team next offseason that gives Dak one of those 10-year, $600 million contracts. That might be low on the average annual basis for him. But the quarterbacks never or rarely play it out to the end to where they put themselves in a position where they're becoming free agents. If they were willing to do that, they would have incredible leverage. But again, the hard part is when you're Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come to you and say, here's 10 years and $500 million, what are we doing? You turn that down to try to get 10 years and $600 million? Like, give me a break. So that's why so few quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, get to free agency. And it just sort of happened with Dak, just as it happened with Kirk Cousins. And when Kirk Cousins became a true unrestricted free agent and left Washington for Minnesota, he was able to parlay that into a fully guaranteed contract, high averages. And then when he leaves Minnesota with a similar arrangement, he goes to Atlanta for $100 million guaranteed. And now Dak's in a situation where, you know, I believe if he hits the free agent market, you know, he's going to become the highest paid player in NFL history. And I believe that mark is going to set the mark, the standard for other quarterback deals over time, and it's going to impact them. So Jordan Love could wait. He could wait, absolutely, and his price will go up. But the issue is, what if he waits and then doesn't play as well this year? What if he waits and then suffers some type of injury? What if? So do you pass up, let's just call it, we'll call it $55 million a year. Let's call it 5 years, $275 million. Are you passing that up to try to get to 5 years and $300 million? Really? Like, is that worth the risk? I don't think it is. And I'm an advocate of quarterbacks trying to put themselves in this great position of unchallenged power. Like, that would be unbelievable. But it just, it's, you know what, it goes back to that expression, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, right? And you don't want to be the hog here and try to make it to $300 million as opposed to $275.
Adam, last thing we have for you before we let you go. It is the 4th of July this week. Where does the 4th of July rank on your holiday power rankings?
Not high, and I'll tell you why. Because to me, the 4th of July, I recognize it's our country's birthday. It stands for tremendous things. I'm all for that. But I think of it selfishly in personal terms. July 4th means, for me, the end of my summer's coming quick.
Yep.
Training camp's opening soon. And it's all about to start up again. That's why I much prefer Memorial Day, because I know I've got 6 weeks ahead of me that are going to be nice, peaceful, relaxing. So Memorial Day automatically, you know, leapfrogs July 4th on my holiday rankings. Okay, that's number one. Like, in fact, Memorial Day might be my number one holiday because it's just such a nice time of the year. I love that. It's the start of the summer. It's great. After that, I do love Thanksgiving. You know, the sitting around that day, family, food, football. That's fantastic. Trying to think what other holidays that
Labor Day. Labor Day's great. You know,
yeah, you know what I kind of like? You know, I'll tell you why I like. Go ahead, because it's the start of football season, right?
No. Kids, get the hell out of the house and go to school.
You know what? That is a good one. Labor Day gets put up there because of it. You're right. And I always think my fantasy football drafts are right around Labor Day, and fantasy football draft day is one of the great days of the year. So, you know what? Labor Day is a great I'll put Labor Day ahead of July 4th, to be perfectly frank.
Well, Adam, we appreciate you spending some of your holiday week with us. Thanks for hanging out. We'll talk to you again soon.
Happy 4th to everybody. We'll talk next week.
All right. He's Adam Schefter. You can hear him each and every week right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe.
And each and every week, he is brought to us in part by our friends at Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. You know, I love to go up there, play some of the golf, but check out everything they have at islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
The mortgage process is a huge stressor for a lot of people, and Great Midwest Bank believes that securing loans should not be stressful. Great Midwest Bank offers convenient technology options. You can apply online through their safe online portal in as little as 20 minutes, and it is virtually painless. Don't worry, you'll always have a real person to talk to if you want. Great Midwest Bank's loan officers are just a call or a visit away. If you are looking for a new home, you can win home field advantage when you work with your community bank, Great Midwest Bank. Go to their website for more information. It's greatmidwestbank.com to see what GMB can do for you. Very, very, very full second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Giannis and Josh Jacobs and Ken Rosenthal. Oh my, don't forget Sophia Minute. She is coming up next. Stick around.